Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. You're the God of breakthrough. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Glory to God. You know, while we were singing that, the Holy Ghost just stirred on the inside of me. Just an encouragement to keep standing, keep believing, keep trusting for those unsaved family members, to keep pushing. Amen? That it's not over. It's just not over. It's not over. You know, that old saying, it's not over till somebody sings. It's not over until God says it's over. Amen? And it's not over yet. And so I just want to encourage you today. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you stuff is over. We're talking about breakthrough. That's the word the Lord just gave us for this year. And if you were here last week, you heard that just through prayer, one day in prayer, morning prayer, which is so powerful. I just encourage you to come if you're able to. And if you're not able to come, pray wherever you are. You know, if you're sitting at work at your desk, just be mindful that, you know, you can be hooked up with us. There's no distance in the spirit. Amen. And you got kids that got to go to school, then pray at home. But don't let this time pass by without hooking up and connecting with us as we pray these next 21 days. But during prayer one day, just the Holy Ghost just moved, and the word was breakthrough. And as I said that word, the Holy Ghost told me, just said, just on the inside. You know, when we talk about the Lord speaking to us, many times it's just on the inside, that still small voice, that gentle whisper that comes from the inside. And just on the inside, the Holy Ghost just rose up and said, to have breakthrough, something has to break. Amen. Something has to break. And we always, you know, whenever I would think of the word breakthrough, I would always think of, you know, charging through and breaking through a wall. And one year for Easter, we built a big wall here out of, it looked like bricks, you know, and it was really amazing. And we had Jesus breakthrough, and it was powerful. And that's what I always think of when I think of the word breakthrough. But the Lord was just showing me that many times the break that we're looking for isn't ahead of us, it's within us. That's so good, isn't it? Yeah. It's not ahead of us, it's within us. Some things that, some ideas, some mindsets, some habits, some sin, we need that to break. We need it to break in order to get the breakthrough. We're waiting to, you know, pound through a wall, you know, like the illustration. But really what needs to happen is on the inside. And so we want to do some inside work today. Now, don't be scared. Inside work is good work. We want to do some inside work today so that we can prepare and ask the Lord, Lord, what habit do I need to break? What mindset do I need to break? What unforgiveness do I need to break? Because the Bible says that Jesus already broke it all, but sometimes we're holding the chain together. We're holding it together, you know? It's already broken, but we're holding it together and like, oh, I can't, you know, this has got me. Nothing has got you but Jesus, amen? And so we're going to do some inside work today, and it's going to be good. Turn over to Luke chapter 9. I'm going to read this to you out of the Message, and the Message is a paraphrase. It's not a translation, and it's always good to just keep that in mind. And over in Luke chapter 9, verse number 57 through 62, listen to what this says. And, you know, some people are always like, and this may step on your toe a little bit, but some people are like, whenever you want to confront something that's wrong or you want to change your life, people say, well, what would Jesus do? I'll tell you what Jesus would do. He would confront it too. Amen. You know, Jesus was pretty tough on some things. And when you hear this, you're going to be like, whoa, man, that's pretty harsh. That's harsh. But this is Jesus. He says, on the road, someone asked if he could go along. He says, I'll go with you wherever, he said. Jesus was curt. He says, are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know. Jesus said to another, follow me. He said, certainly, but first, excuse me for a couple of days, please. I have to make arrangements for my father's funeral. Jesus refused. Next time you want to say, what would Jesus do? Let's remember this. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good reason to be like, hey, you know, I can't do that. I got to take care of my dad's funeral. But Jesus said, he refused. He said, first things first, your business is life, not death. And life is urgent. Your life is urgent. I have a sign in my wall in my office, and it says, life is now in session. Right? Life is now in session. And so Jesus refused, and he said, first things first, your business is life, not death. And life is urgent. Announce God's kingdom. Then another said, I'm ready to follow you, master. But first, excuse me, while I get things straightened out at home. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. Seize the day. One of the first things we got to do if we're ready for our breakthrough is we've got to stop making excuses for it.
Come on now.
We got to stop making excuses for it. We got to stop saying, you know, and I've been guilty of this too. You know, how many times we said, man, I'm going to get organized. I'm going to get so organized and I'm going to just be organized. But first, I got to get the right planner. You know, I got to get the right planner. So then we research all the different kind of daytime planners, you know, and all the while we're doing nothing.
Come on, a whole lot of it.
You know, or we say, man, this is a year I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to get in shape this year. And then we're like, oh, but first, I need all the right workout clothes. I got to have all the right workout clothes, and I got to have the right shoes. I got to have all the right, and all the while, we're doing nothing. You know, or it's like, you know, oh, I'm going to get serious with God tomorrow because, you know, or we say, man, the Lord's stirring in our hearts to step out and to serve. You know why? Because saints serve.
Go ahead. Watch out, huh? Go ahead.
That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to serve the kingdom of God. And we say, you know, man, as soon as this happens, then I'll serve. Then I'll get involved. And Jesus is saying, no procrastination. Life is urgent. Life is now. We got to quit putting off today, putting off until tomorrow, what needs to be done today.
Yes.
Amen? It needs to be done today. We need to get serious with our relationship with God today. Amen? Or, you know, a lot of times we're like, oh, well, when my spouse changes. That's such a good one. When my spouse changes, or when my spouse comes to church, when my spouse starts reading the Bible, then I'll do it. Hey, you know what? You're waiting for somebody else to live your life? Come on now. Jesus was saying, somebody said, I got to take care of my dad's funeral. And Jesus was like, you know, what's important is what's living. Somebody said, I got to take care of stuff at home, get things straightened out. And Jesus said, stop procrastinating. I tell you, those are two extremes on reasons not to follow Jesus. And Jesus took care of both of them. So if you got anything in between, Jesus said, that's not going to fly today. It's not going to fly today. Jesus said, let's get busy living the life that God has for us. We can't put off our breakthrough. Breakthroughs are sudden. Breakthrough is a sudden surge of motion. We learned that last week. Yeah. A sudden surge of motion that advances us forward. But if we're still stuck in yesterday, or we're like, oh, you know, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that this day. You know, we're doing a devotional together. And, you know, my question to you, why aren't you doing it?
Hallelujah. Come on.
You know, we're all like, man, this is my breakthrough year. Listen, breakthrough doesn't happen on the couch.
No.
On the spiritual couch. It does not happen there. It does not happen there. We want to have change, and I say this all the time, and it's so simple, but, you know, God makes things simple. If we want change, we've got to change. If you want a different year, then your daily needs to look different. It needs to look different. My heart is for you. You say, oh, you're being kind of harsh. I'm preaching the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, my heart is for you. I will stand before Jesus one day. I will stand, and the Bible says that because I'm a shepherd, I will be held to a higher level of accountability. Man, I take that seriously. I take that serious. I don't want to stand before Jesus and him be like, you know, your sheep, they were all right. They didn't really do much. They didn't get off the couch. They dealt with a lot of stuff. You could have helped them more. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And so sometimes we need to be reminded that Jesus himself said, seize the day. It's not about what I'm going to do. It's about what I'm doing.
Yes.
I've told a story. I used to work with this guy at Publix when I first became a manager. And I was really young. I was one of the only female managers, which was, I believe God was just preparing me for where I am now. Because many places I go, I'm the only female there too, but I'm kind of used to it now. And but I used to work with all these men I was the only girl on an all-male stock crew. That was a trip. But anyway, God helped me. You know, sometimes where we're at feels uncomfortable, but just remember, God's preparing you for where you're going.
That's right.
Amen. I look back and I think, man, I was in such a time of preparation and didn't even know it. But I'm thankful. And so anyway, I used to work with this guy, and he was probably twice my age. And we would get tasks and assignments we had to do, and he's like, oh, I was going to do that. The boss would come around, and he'd be like, why isn't this done? And, you know, and he'd be like, well, I was going to do that. And one day, man, I just had it up to here, because everything he was going to do, I ended up having to do, you know? And so one day, I just said to him, I said, you know what you are? You're a going to do. You're always going to do it. You're always going to do it. Man, I don't want to get to heaven and Jesus be like, you were a really good going to do. You were a really good going to do. You were always going to get serious. You were always going to serve me. You were always going to read the Bible. You were really good at gunnas. Man, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, well done. And in order to hear well done, you got to move from gonna to doing.
Yes.
Amen? You got to move. I don't want to hear, you're really good at gonna. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, well done.
Yes.
And you got to do something. Yes. And so we're going to talk today just about some stuff that's going to help us break through. Amen? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19. One of the things that we've got to do to break through, say that word with me, say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
I tell you what, I believe, you know, this is for me too. I'm preaching to myself. I'm going to break through this year. There's some things that God's had on my heart to do for years that I haven't done. And I haven't done because of, I'll just be transparent, real with you. I haven't done because of insecurity. I haven't done from laziness. I haven't done from other things. Those are two pretty big ones. You know, I haven't done them just because I haven't done them. I was always going to do them. I don't want that anymore. Amen. So if this message isn't for you, come along for the ride as I preach to myself. All right? But one of the things we got to do to break through some things is we've got to let go of old history. You got to let go of it. You got to let history be history. One of the things we did on our staff retreat that we went on earlier this year is that we took time, and I had, you know, someone that I read after, his name is Dan Raylan, he had written this article about 10 questions to ask yourself in reflection that will help you prepare for 2019. And so we each took the paper and we're at this big place, we went all over and we wrote some things down, but we reflected on some things, and there are some things in our past we need to leave there. You don't need to carry that anymore. It's history. And the Bible says here in Isaiah, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. This is God talking. He said, see, I am doing a new thing.
Yes.
Man, let God do something new. But if we're constantly rehashing, oh, they hurt me. They hurt me. Oh, I've been through this. I've been through this. This happened and this happened. The more we keep repeating that, the bigger space in our life we give it. And there are just things, man, you know, some are like, oh, but, you know, it just hurts. It hurts. One of the ways to move past hurt is to move past hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that's deep. Woo!
Yeah,
we gotta move through it.
Yeah.
And he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. He says, now it springs up.
Yes.
Do you not perceive it? Or we could say, God is saying, do you not see it? He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I love this verse. It's not just for New Year's, it's for all the time. God's making a way, but it's gonna look different than the past. He said it's a new thing. And we keep trying to do things the same way we've always done things, expecting a different result. And God is saying, forget the past. Quit dwelling on how that happened before. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Yeah. Do you not see it? Let's start looking. Man, if you've always borrowed money, let's let this year be the year that God does it a different way.
Come on.
Amen. Not that God was in that way, but you know what I mean. If you've always handled your finances a certain way, man, let this year be the way that you do it a different way. Let God show you a new thing. It's a new thing. You know, in marriage, in relationships, you know, I've been married a long time. And sometimes in marriage, it's the same thing that annoys you every year. Every year, it's the same thing that's like, you know? Let God show it to you in a different way. Let God do a new thing. Take your focus off of what is in the past. Let it be history. Leave it there. And you know what? That goes for successes as well. It goes for success as well. Sometimes we're so caught up in the success we had, we don't have any today. You talk about people that we've led to the Lord. Oh, back in 1980, whatever, I was this, this, and this. Man, that's the past. What are we doing today? The Lord said that to me one time. I was thinking I was all that because of something that, you know, the Lord had used me. And I was like, man, you know, that's so good. I was so excited about it and just kind of dwelling on it a little bit. Not in a bad way. I was excited about what God was doing. And then something happened and I was like, oh, but, you know, Lord, don't you remember that? That was really good. You know, don't you remember what I did? I was obedient. I stepped out. And the Lord said, that's old manna. There was a reason why manna just was gone every day. Because every day is a new day. You know, okay, you were a big star in high school. What are you doing now? Amen. What are we doing now? You know, my brother said this. We were talking about somebody. I'm not going to tell you who. We were talking about somebody, and he said it to their face, so he wasn't like, you know, back talking behind their back. He said to them, you know, the longer I've known you, the tougher you were. Do you get that? The longer I've known you, the tougher you were. Because sometimes we can build up stories, you know, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. But I don't want to live on past stories. I want to let go of the past. I want to live on stories today. Amen. Amen. What's going on today? It's great to use those to encourage us and remind us how good God has been. But God wants to know, what are we doing now? And so we got to let the history be history. Let's let history be history. Somebody hurts you, now's a good time to get over it. Amen? Let's move on from old history. Let's break through that because it's like a chain that's on your foot, not letting you break through. We got to move past it. You know, give your spouse a fresh start. Amen? Give your spouse a break. Sometimes we're so harsh on the people we love the most. Man, give them a break. Give them a break. Be merciful. Be merciful. Give them a fresh start. Just make a decision in your mind. I'm gonna give them a fresh start. I'm not gonna bring up socks on the floor. I'm not gonna bring up the past. I'm gonna start today fresh, and I'm gonna remember why I love you in the first place. Amen. There's power in that. Let's let history be history. Second thing we want to do, and this is a good one, we want to break through some old habits. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 6. Now, we're in 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I'll tell you, you want to break some habits? Fasting is one of the best ways to do it. Yes. Your fast will have nothing to do with your habit, but you fast and you are diligent. And fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes me. It changes me. And so we're in that. I encourage you. You say, oh, I missed it. I got to wait till next year. That's a lie from the pit. Start today. Start today, amen? But Isaiah 58, 6 says this, is not this kind of fasting I have chosen, listen to this, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Man, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's power in fasting. I'm going to read something to you that's out of our devotional that we're doing, and you're welcome to go along with us. The devotional is called Awakening, and it's written for 21 days of prayer and fasting. And the other day, this was so good, is talking about fasting. He says, as we live our lives, over time, we can get all gunked up. While our spirit is eternally made new through Christ, our soul, which is the intersection of our mind, our will, and our emotions, can become weighed down, heavy, negative, and sluggish. The constant demand on our mind, the distractions and the noise can weigh us down, and listen to this, and put us in a spiritual fog. This is what happens. Life has a way of stacking on the pressure and pain, which causes our emotions to get out of whack. As we get tired and weighed down, our conscience can become desensitized, not really bothered by things that once convicted us. Man, isn't that true? God's voice is slowly muffled, and we begin to lose our passion for him. The fire within dims, and we shift into autopilot, operating from a position of obligation or routine in our relationship with God, instead of one of affection and fervor. And you know what? I'll tell you what, that happens to everybody. And that's why fasting is so important. And this is what he says. He says, fasting hits the reset button of our soul. To receive the new things God wants to bring into our lives, we have to periodically hit the reset button. This is what I call experiencing a newness of soul. What a powerful gift we have been given through fasting. And that's so good. Because what fasting does, it's not a chore. It's not a, I'm going to fast to show God. No, that's not what it's for. Fasting is us saying, you know what? I'm going to disconnect from some things in the world. I'm going to disconnect from some things that are part of my regular life. I'm going to disconnect from that, and I'm going to connect more with God during this time. And when I do that, a reset button happens in my soul. It's like the Bible says in Psalms 23, he restores my soul. And one way that happens is through fasting, because what it's telling my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, that flesh part of me, you're not the boss of me. You're not leading my life. I'm not going to be in a spiritual fog because I'm so distracted by things. We are so addicted to so many things. We're addicted to our phone. We're addicted to television. We're addicted to Netflix. We're addicted to entertainment. And then we're wondering, why do I not hear the voice of God? There's no time. It's like trying to get, you ever been in a conversation with somebody and they're constantly talking? What would Brother Lee say?
I met one.
I mean, they're just talking 100 miles a minute, and you're just like, you know, you're trying to get a word in there. You know what? That I believe that's how the Spirit of God is on the inside of us. But we're so connected to other things. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions is so entertained. It's so full of stuff, and we're like, oh man, I don't even hear from God anymore. Like it's God's fault. Isn't that how we're acting? You know? I don't even hear from God. I don't know what he's up to. I don't know where he's been. I don't know what he's doing. I don't even hear from him. No, it's because all that stuff has muffled his voice. And so fasting doesn't change. God's not speaking to me more. I'm just able to hear it. I'm able to hear it. We need a reset. We need a reset, and that's what fasting does. It's so powerful. You know, if you can't, some people are like, man, I just don't see how giving up soda is going to help me hear from God. I don't know how that's going to happen. Well, you don't understand the things of God.
Right.
God says when we do it his way happens. Fasting is his way. It's a powerful thing. And fasting is, some people think fasting is only Old Testament. No, Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say if, he said when. When you fast. So our question is, when you fast? When are you fasting? There's power to it.
Yes.
And there's lots of things we can fast. I personally think in the culture that we live in, I didn't used to think this. I was always like, no, it has to be some type of food. It has to be some type. I've kind of changed my tune a little bit. I think in the culture we live in, it's the electronics and the distractions. I think those are super powerful fast. Because I don't think we realize how big those things have become in our lives. We don't realize it. We're not as sensitive to it anymore because we're just so used to it. We're so used to it. And so the Bible says here in Isaiah, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains? You want to break some habits? Start fasting. There is power in it. I can't study the word. I can't even put into words how powerful I think fasting is. I think Stovall Weems, that's his actual name, Stovall Weems, I think he does a great job in the book Awakening. That's why I wanted to do this together. Another thing we need to do for breakthrough, we're gonna let old history be history. Let's let it be history. Let's move on from some old habits. I want change. I've got to do something different. Amen. I want change. I got to do something different. And the next thing I need to do, I need to move on from old hurts. Amen. I got to move on from them. You know, this is something the Lord's been speaking to me about, you know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've been, you know, 2017 was a tough year. It was a tough year. A lot of hurt in that year. But you know, I'm not any different than you. I'm sure you had a lot of hurt that, you know, 2017, 16, whatever. But you know, the Lord was just like, it's time to move on. You gotta let that go. You know, it happened. You say, it wasn't fair. It wasn't right. Well, you know what? That doesn't change the fact that I got to move on from it. Amen. There are some situations in life, you'll never get them to be right. You just gotta admit and say, you know what? That didn't work. I'm going to move on. We got to move on from it. But if you keep picking at that scab of that hurt, and it's never going to heal. Never going to heal. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means you're a believer. You believe in Jesus. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. He reconciled me. He made things even. He brought me to the place I need to be. What you're looking for, that newness, you're saying, oh, I just need to heal. I just need this. I just need. It says the new is here now. What you need is here now. We just got to tap into the things of God. Quit rehearsing what has happened. Quit looking at that picture and crying over it. Put that picture away. Amen. Put it away. Put that heartbreak story away. Quit talking about it. Quit reliving it. Quit whatever we feed gets bigger. You know, you can just look at my dog, Gilby. He's getting bigger and bigger. You know why? Because I'm always giving him treats. He loves treats in his little face. I'm just like, oh, here you go, buddy. You know? But you know, the vet's like, Peggy, he's you know, he's got to lose a couple of pounds. I'm like, my Gil, you know? What? I'm feeding him. He's getting bigger. Whatever you feed gets bigger. If all you feed is the hurt, oh, you don't know what happened to me. Oh, you don't know what this. Oh, you don't know they did me wrong. Oh, he left me. Oh, she left me. Oh, he cheated. She cheated. Whatever. It happened. And nobody's saying it's not a big deal, and nobody's saying it doesn't hurt, and nobody's saying it's not painful. It is. But don't let it steal your today.
Amen.
Let God heal that wound. Let God heal that wound. And if you focus on the healing and not the hurt, it will heal. Let God take care of the hurt. He will. He will. And so we want breakthrough. We got to let history be history. We got to break out of some old habits. Man, I want a different today, then I got to do something different today. We got to let go of some old hurts. You know, people call us names. People don't like us. That's going to happen. What did Jesus say? He said, are you ready to rough it? Are you ready to rough it? Newsflash, not everybody likes us. Amen. Not everybody likes believers. believers. But that doesn't mean that it's not for us today. I heard somebody say this. I thought it was so good. They said, you can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last one. Wasn't that good? You can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last chapter. That's so good. And you know what? That chapter is part of the book. It's part of your story. But your story doesn't end there. You got to keep reading the book and see how so often God will take that chapter and he'll use it to strengthen you for the next chapter and the next chapter. He'll use it to empower you to be a witness and to be a testimony for people that are still in that chapter. But you got to keep reading the book. Amen? That's not how your story ends. There's more to your story. There's more to my story. Amen? So what do we do? What do we do to change? We're looking for change this year. We're looking for breakthrough. We're looking to walk in the things God has for us. And the Bible says in Matthew 4:17, he says, From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, so often when we hear that word repent, it's like it's unfortunately become a religious harsh word. But really what that word repent, there's so much beauty and so much power in the word repent. Don't look at it as something negative, because here's what the word repent, what it represents. It represents that you can change.
Hello.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It represents that you can change, that your life is not going to be just a repeat. You're not on, what's that movie, Groundhog Day? How many saw that movie Groundhog Day, where it's just the same day over and over and over again? That doesn't have to be your life. That doesn't have to be your life. Jesus, he said, repent. It means that I can change my mind. I can change the direction that I'm going. I can change how I'm living. I can step into life and seize the day because I repent. I turn away from things that are not of God and I turn towards him. It means I can change. Man, aren't you glad you serve a God who empowers you to change? Because without the power of repentance, and there's power in it. You don't have to run from mistakes. We don't have to run from our past. We need to face it, and we can repent. We can turn. We can turn. Aren't you glad you don't serve a God that says, nope, you did it, that's it, you're done, you're stuck here. But that's how so many of us act. We let our past failures make us feel stuck. We let things that have got a hold of us, sin and bondage and addictions that have got a hold of us, we let them keep us stuck there. And you don't have to be stuck there. There is power in repenting. There is power in taking a whole bag of garbage of my life and a whole mess up and things I meant to do and things I didn't mean to do and things that were just, some of it's ugly and some of it's just, man, I just missed it. And taking it all to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is 2018, Lord. But I repent. I change. And you empower me. God empowers you to repent. Repent's a beautiful word. It means I can change. It means I am not what I have done. It means I am not what has happened to me. It means I am not the weaknesses that I have. It means I'm not that. Jesus said, repent. But here's how we do it. Look at this. He says, repent for the kingdom of heaven. You know, one of the biggest things we need to repent from is being our own king. Being our own king in our own kingdom. We got to repent for that. It's not Peggy's kingdom. I'm not in my own world. You know, you hear that expression, oh, you're in your own little world. So many of us, we are. We're running our own life. We're deciding what we're doing. We're living according to our own agenda and ideas. Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of heaven. It means I need to remind myself that Jesus is my king. He's the boss of me. And not because he makes me, it's because I choose.
Yes, that's it.
I choose to come under his leadership. I choose to come into the kingdom of God. I choose to say, you're my Lord and my Savior. Everybody wants Jesus to be their Savior, but few want Jesus to be their Lord. A Lord is saying, it's your way. This is your kingdom, and I'm in it. You're the king here, not me. Not me. And you know what? You know what's so good is when I come into the kingdom, when I repent, and Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Man, the kingdom of heaven is right here. It's right here. It's not somewhere I got to get to. It is right here. When I say, Lord, and I give it to him, man, I'm in. Isn't that good? Don't shy away from that word. It's a powerful word. And don't shy away from using it a lot. It's a powerful word. It means I have the power to change. I can change. I can change. And so what do I need to do for that change? We need to say to ourselves, you know what? Today I'm getting closer to God. I'm not going to do it. I'm doing it. I'm getting closer to God. The Bible says in James 4:8 out of the New Living, he says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Notice who makes the first move. I do. Come close to God. He's saying, come close. When I come close, God comes close. When I get closer, God gets closer. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Yeah. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty, listen to this, so good, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. We need to wash our hands of that. We need to wash our hands of having our loyalty divided between God and the world. Listen, there is a culture clash going on right now. There is a huge culture clash going on where it's the world and the church. But you know what? It is nothing new. It's nothing new. The same power that got the disciples through it is the same power that get us through it. Amen. Amen. But we got to be ready to rough it. Just like they did. But you know what? I'd rather stand before the Lord and hear well done than be celebrated here on this earth. How about you? Because I'm going to be up there a whole lot longer than I'm down here. Amen. A whole lot longer. A whole lot longer. Let's wash our hands of that division. Let's make a choice. I'm going to get close to God. When I get close to God, he gets close to me. He gets close to me. And you know, things change in our life when we're close to God. What are ways I can do that? Ask yourself this question. And this may be a toe stomper, but you know what? My goal is to push. You know, I can be a little bit pushy. You can ask people that know me, like, you know, just for the things of God and for what God's doing and for the way I think things should be. I mean, I can be a little, you know, I can push a little, but I don't apologize for that. I'm called of God to do that. I'm not going to stand on the side and be like, oh, you know, whatever, whatever. Hey, you know, you do you.
That's not how it works.
You do you, girl. I'm not here for that. I'm here to say, hey, I love you. I care about you. If you want to know, I'll tell you what the word says. I'm not going to hold a banner in your face, but I'm going to love you enough to speak truth to you. Amen? I'm going to love you enough to speak the truth to you. But let's ask ourselves, what would the end of 2019 look like if I came to church every Sunday? If I put 52 weeks in? Your life would look better. I guarantee it. You know how I know? Because I do it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
I do it. And I didn't do it just because I'm preaching. I did it long before I preached.
That's right.
Long before I preached.
Yeah.
You know, they say in American culture, it used to be, it dropped down in the last 5 years where people came to church every other. Now they're coming every 5 and every 6 weeks. But in their minds, they still think they're completely connected and 100% like, oh, yeah, I go to church. I run into people all the time like, oh, you're Pastor Peggy, man, I go to your church. I have no idea who they are. I don't have a clue. Oh, I love our church. Our church is so awesome. And I'm looking at them like, you know. And I feel bad because in their mind, it's like, listen, that's a lie the enemy's telling you. Well, how different would our lives look like if we read the Bible every day? If at the end, if that little Bible streak thing at the end said 365, how different would our lives look? Yes. I'll tell you what, they look different.
Yes.
They look. How different would our lives look if we prayed in the Holy Ghost every day?
Yeah. Wow.
Every day, man, I prayed in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You'd be stronger. You'd be healthier. Everything would be better. We need to ask ourselves, I'm close to you. It's easy to be close to God when we're all here and we're worshiping together. But you know what? Church services, and this may sound strange, but church services alone will not change your life. It's what I take out the door and apply to my life. I get it here. It's just like when I go to Publix and I buy all my groceries. If I leave them in the car, what's going to happen? I'm still going to be hungry.
Yeah.
I'm going to get weak. And I'm going to get sick. Because
yeah.
I'm not eating.
Yeah.
And my car is going to stink.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you know what? That's exactly what we do here. You come in here and you get loaded up with the worship. You get loaded up with the word. You get loaded up with the bread of life. Because I'll tell you what, we preach the word here. Don't ever say we don't. You get loaded it up and you're putting it in your bag. You're like, ooh, it's good, Pastor Peggy. Amen. It's good. It's good. You're putting it in your bag and you're walking out.
Yeah.
Right? And then you put it in your car. And then on Monday, you're like, oh, heck no. Oh.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of other four-letter words. And then you're dragging back in here in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You're, oh. Oh, Pastor, you don't even know. You don't even know. I need to meet. Listen, you know when you can meet with me? Every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:11.
Yes.
Then on Wednesday night, I'll give you a bonus session.
Go ahead. How about that? All free.
You know, I fell out of that trap a long time ago.
Yes.
I don't do personal church services.
No.
But that's what we do. This service will not change your life unless you take it in. You got to take, just like them groceries, we got to take them in our house. We got to cook them. We got to peel them. We got to read the directions. You know, we got to do all that. And then we got to take it in. And when I take it in, it's going to strengthen me. Amen? It's going to change me. But if we don't do that with what we get here, we're at the end of this year, we're going to be like, what happened? I was so excited at the beginning of the year. I was so pumped up. You got to take them groceries in the house. Amen. You got to pack your lunch for work. Amen. You got to eat some snacks of the word. You got to, with this word will change us, but that's how we draw closer to God. We make decisions. I'm going to do things different this year. How different would my life look? If I was consistent, I say this all the time, consistency will beat intense effort every time. Every time. Sometimes we set ourselves up for failure. I'm going to read the word for an hour every day. If that's where you're starting, that's going to be hard. How about start back here at I'm going to read the word. And this may sound like not so much, but just trust me. I'm going to read the word for 5 minutes. Or I'm going to be consistent with a devotional. I'm going to be consistent with it. I won't lay my head on my pillow and go to sleep until I have done it. Those devotionals take 2-3 minutes at the most. You say, well, that doesn't seem like much. Hey, it's better than nothing. It's where we start. It's where we start, and then we grow. When I draw close to God, He draws close to me. But I'm the one who takes the step. I got to do it. I got to be purposeful with my relationship with God, purposeful. And the next thing, I got to get honest. Amen. That sounds funny to say to church people. We got to get honest. The Bible says in James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Man, listen, quit trying to get through that addiction on your own. It's not going to happen.
Come on.
It's not going to happen. You need help. You need a friend. The Bible says we confess to a friend. It's not, we don't get up on the stage and blast our life to people. No, but God will bring somebody close into your life. He'll bring someone who's a friend that can help you and hold you accountable. There's power in accountability. Yes, yes, there's power in saying, man, I struggle with spending time with the Word. Can you help me? Can we help one another? Yeah. I need you. You need me and I need you. We need to have somebody in our life that we can talk to, that we can say, man, help me pray, help me do this. Or, you know what, I really blew it. I'm dealing with stuff with my spouse and I need help with this. And having somebody that will sharpen us, not jump in with us, but sharpen us. Amen. If you start talking to somebody about your marriage problems and they start talking about theirs, find a new friend. Find somebody, not a new friend, but find somebody else. Find somebody that speak truth to you. Find somebody that tell you, man, you got to walk in love. You got to love that spouse. You got to do what's right. You got to love her as Christ loves the church. Right. You got to submit. Find somebody to speak truth to you. Because listen, lies will make you feel better, but truth will set you free.
Yes.
Truth will say, the truth hurts, but the truth heals. Amen. The truth hurts sometimes. Man, it's hurtful for somebody to call you out. We don't like being called out at all. And it hurts and it's painful. But I'll tell you what, until you get to the point where you'll let somebody do that, you won't heal. That's what it says here. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's power in it. There's power in it. Ephesians chapter 2, we're talking about, man, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to move on to the next chapter in my life? I got to get close with God. I got to be honest with what's really going on in my life, and I got to make a decision that I'm going to do something greater than myself. I'm going to do something greater than myself. Ephesians chapter 2, out of the Message, it says this. God creates each of us by Christ Jesus. Listen, listen. To join him in the work he does. You're created to join Christ in the work he does. That's why you're made. That's what you're here for. He says to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Isn't that good? Work we had better be doing. Let's not get so caught up in our own hobbies and our own ideas and our own entertainment that we're no longer doing the work that he does.
Yes.
We're here to join him in the work that he does. What am I doing for the kingdom of God? What am I doing? And, you know, so often we're, you know, do what makes you happy. Man, I want to do what makes Jesus happy. Because when I do what makes him happy, ultimately it'll bring me something bigger than happiness. It brings me joy.
Yes.
It brings me joy. And joy is not determined by what's going on the outside. It's not determined by politics. It's not determined by income. It's not determined by anything other than the power of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
Feeling weak? Start serving God.
Yes.
Amen. That's it.
Do
something for Jesus.
Yes.
Do something for Jesus. Get involved. Serve. You know, people are like ushers and greeters and nursery and children's ministry and all this. And you say, man, that's not that big a deal. I want to do something great. Listen, if you can't do that, you'll never do anything great. Because you got to get it through your head that is great.
Yes.
That is great.
Yes.
You're serving the house of God. You're serving the kingdom of God. There's nothing like that. Nothing. And all of us are equal. If we didn't have ushers, if we didn't have people, the security team, if we didn't have the people in children's ministry, if we didn't have people that clean the church, if we didn't have all of us together, I couldn't do what I do. And we all work together to do one thing, to get the message out. To reach people and build lives. That's what we do. But we all do it together. And when you're part of that, You're part of what God is doing. We're joined in the work that Jesus is doing because Jesus is in the house. There are two institutions that God created. One is marriage and one is the church. And both are under tremendous attack. And the Bible says, God creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. I love the next part. Work we better be doing. We better be doing it. We better be doing it. People's lives depend on us doing it. And when I do something that's greater than me, when we get outside of ourselves, that's when you really start living. That's when you really start living. When you get out of you and into what God's doing. When it's not about me. It's not about me. One of my favorite songs, I'm terrible with songs. I only remember parts of them. And then I put them all together at home and Scott would be like, you know that's not how that goes, right? And my response is always, it is today.
It's my song.
This is my song now. I love, there's this line in one of the songs we sing, and it says, you are the reason we come, or we came. You are the reason we came. Man, I love that. I'm here for Jesus. I'm here to see him lifted high. I'm here to see his word penetrate the hearts of people. I'm here to see his way transform lives. That's what we're here for. That's what we all need to be here for. And when we tap into that, that's when joy starts coming. That's when joy starts coming. Because you know what? You can get all wrapped up in any hobby. You can get all wrapped up in any game, any sport, any team, whatever, but it will never do for you what Jesus can do. Never. So many people are trying to fill their lives with hobbies, trying to fill your life with TV shows, trying to fill your life with video games, trying to fill your life with being entertained all the time. And then when you lay your head down on your pillow, you are still empty. It's because none of that, there's a place for it in our life, but it is not intended to fill our lives. The Holy Ghost is a filler.
Yes.
We got to make room for him.
Yes.
Amen? We got to make room for him to fill our lives. And when we do, by being part of something greater than ourselves, we're going to see the breakthrough that we're looking for. Amen? I encourage you, don't be a gonna. Put it somewhere. I always say, put it wherever you look most, whether it's the mirror or the fridge. One of those two things. Whether you're looking in the mirror all the time, you're looking in the fridge all the time. It's usually one of those. Or put it on the TV. Say, I am not going to be a going to do. I'm doing it this year. This is my year. You see, we say that every year, and every year is a new opportunity.
Right.
Every day is a new opportunity to grow closer to the Lord. Because I don't care how long you've been in church, there is always another step you can take.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been serving God, there is always another step you can take to get closer to God, to be more submitted to him, to be more in tune with him, to hear his voice more. There's always a deeper place to go.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I want to go deeper in the things of God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. I pray for every person here today, Lord, that you would just bring revelation to us. Revelation of your word. Revelation of your desire for our life. The life we should be living. And Lord, for those of us who've made excuses before, we've said, oh, I need to get this taken care of. I need to get that. Remind us of the words of Jesus where he said, no, now's the time. No more procrastinating. Seize the day. Holy Spirit, help us seize the day. Help us seize the day and draw closer to you. Oh, that's our prayer today. Holy Spirit, you're our helper. And we ask for your help. Help us, Lord. Help us every day, to grow closer to you. When we begin to get lax and gunked up, remind us of the power of fasting. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I just believe the Lord wants to speak to a couple people. Let's just be still and silent for a moment. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you're showing us the history we need to leave behind us. You're showing us the habits that we need to break and the new ones we need to form. You're helping us to leave those past hurts behind because you are doing a new work in us, a new work. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that the newness of life that is on the inside of each one of us, it springs up. It springs up as we step into a new time, a new day. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us, equipping us, enabling us to do all you've called us to. In Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus, for newness of life. For the newness of life we now enjoy. Oh, thank you. I thank you for the power of repentance, Lord, that we wouldn't shy away from that word, but we would embrace it because it's the power to change. I can change my direction right now, and turn to you, Lord. Oh, thank you. We thank you. Oh, Father, I thank you that we'll take this message and we'll unpack it and we'll take it home and we'll put it out on the counter and we'll eat from it every day. We won't leave it in the car. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Ooh, isn't God so good? He's so good. Father, I thank you. You're so good. You're going to help each one of us unpack this word because you got plans for us. God's got plans for you. God's got plans for you. Some of you, even now, I sense it in the spirit. You're just like, oh, but this. No, that's past. That's history. You got to leave it. Leave it. You got to leave it. Today's a new day. Today's your breakthrough day. Today's your breakthrough day. Say that with me. Say, today is my breakthrough day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.